scripture reading this morning is taken from Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Be seated, please.
Good morning. It is a beautiful morning. I know it's a little cold and dreary outside, but it is a beautiful morning in here because I see you. And we get to worship God together, and we are grateful for that. And, a couple things certainly have transpired throughout this past year and made us wish well 2020, right? We were excited to get into 2021. And you'll notice in your bulletin an article, "Are We the Missing Piece?" And I hope that you'll take opportunity to read that. If it seems familiar to you, there's a reason for that as well. I'll go ahead and admit. And in fact, there may be a connection. The beginning of 2020, that was the first article of the year. This was meant to be the first sermon of 2020 as well. And I've changed it up to fit this year in particular, but because I didn't preach the sermon, I did run the article, and so the article technically is a rerun, so I'll go ahead and admit that to you. But at the same time, if you need somebody to blame for 2020, just go ahead and blame me. I didn't preach this particular sermon, and I feel like I failed somehow. And so I've been waiting all year to preach this sermon. You just don't know. It's kind of been right there in my pocket, ready to go, and I'm excited when we get to preach this. This particular sermon is one that, and I've referenced sometimes puzzle pieces. And so there are puzzle pieces out in a basket in the foyer. If you didn't grab one on the way out. And go ahead and pin it on, and it'll remind you about maybe being the missing piece of the puzzle and being fitly framed together in some of those things that we're going to talk about. But first of all, I want to introduce to you this year's theme, 2021. He is the one. He is the one. And I know that, obviously, 2021, preachers, you know how they are. They try to come up with something that rhymes and feels good and fits and all of that. And so hopefully this does all of those, meets all that requirement. And because we're preaching the sermon that goes along with that, all things hopefully will certainly be well. One thing that I know for sure is that God has certainly brought us through 2020, and he will carry us through into eternity as we are faithful to him. And there is no doubt about that. And therefore we trust in him and we love him and we continue to praise him because of all things that he has given to us and how he has blessed us. You'll notice some sub-themes, if you will, on the screen as well. Bring one, encourage one, teach one. And you'll hear that probably all year long. That's the way themes work, and so I'm going to try to remind you of that. You'll even see me occasionally put this puzzle piece on and wear it just as a reminder of those of how we are all fitted together in the body of Christ. And especially even here at Eastside. And I'm grateful that we have even visitors in our midst as well this morning. That is an encouragement to us, and we are grateful for your presence and for the opportunity to be able to worship together that God has afforded us. For that, we are grateful to you, and we praise him for those very things. We think about this morning, this particular lesson is going to be kind of that last phrase there, be the one. Because he is the one. Be the one. I want us to think about that together. Are you the one? Now, I didn't capitalize this on purpose because he is the one is capitalized, because Christ is the one, because God is the one. He is our focus. But I want you to think about how you might be the one. And thinking about those other ideas about bringing one, encouraging one, teaching one, you need to be the one to be able to do that. And that's really what this lesson is focusing on. And are you, by the way, the missing one? the missing piece of the puzzle. I want you to keep that in the back of your mind as well. And so much like pieces of a puzzle, we go throughout our lives in this world maybe trying to find out where we fit. Maybe trying to figure out how we fit in. You have a lot of people that are out there just trying to figure out where they fit in life. Where is it that I fit in? I need to find my people, right, so that I can fit in with them. That's generally how we think about those things. But I want you to realize that God will fashion you according to His Son, that God will fashion you in the way that He wants you to be. We talked about the refiner's pot even last Sunday morning, and how He will fashion us, even through trials and difficulties, to be the people that He wants us to be the one that He wants you to be. And so while we're trying to maybe consider where it is we belong, where we fit in, I want you to know this morning that you have a place. That you have a place where you fit perfectly. And that is the Lord's church. And I want you to realize that, but I want to express that by showing us scriptures that back that up. But, you know, even in the Lord's church sometimes, it's sad to say, but sometimes we struggle even in the Lord's church to find our place where we are fitted together, to find how we might be able to serve, how we might be able to encourage. And there are some who are great encouragers, and there are those who are great servers, and there are those who are great leaders, and everyone must be a follower of Jesus Christ, right? But we have to find our place where we fit in the Lord's work. And so, it doesn't matter if you are young, if you are older, if you're college age, if you are a working professional, career-minded, if you're middle-aged, I hate to say it because I'm there. The gray shows through and here we are. Right, Eddie? He's shaking his head. He knows what I'm talking about. He turned 50 this year, so I could still pick on him. Middle-aged, doesn't matter. If we are retired, if we are the aged, if we are babes, if we are infants, if we are toddlers, preschool, school-aged, teenagers, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, if we are public schooled, private schooled, or homeschooled, doesn't matter about our skin color or lack thereof. It doesn't matter about our background, where we came from. It doesn't matter about our past. What matters is where we are right now and where we're going. When we think about the Lord's church, both universally and locally, when we think about Eastside, universally, it's that place where we are saved from our sins, where we're added to the body of Christ as saved, Acts 2 and verse 47, having obeyed the gospel, where we are made one in Christ Jesus, those verses referenced a moment ago in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 22. But locally, it's that place where we find ourselves in sweet fellowship, in the household of God, in a local congregation, in a local family of believers who together have been baptized into Christ and come from all walks of life and get to express their love toward one another and concern and care for one another and compassion as we walk together in this life. Those are things we get to share together in that sweet fellowship, locally speaking. And while we're all different pieces of the puzzle, the Lord will use each member in the body of Christ. Consider the idea, what do you do with a puzzle? And I'll readily admit, and I've admitted this to you before, and some of you will probably remember this, why is he talking about puzzles? I know he doesn't like to do puzzles. I don't. I don't. Cindy helped me put these together, and I'm appreciative of that because I didn't want to think I'm trying to find the right piece to go. Because I know that's a struggle for me. putting those pieces together, interlocking them together. And maybe it's because now my fingers don't work as they used to, and you know, I probably should be doing that to keep those fingers moving, right? But at the same time, what do you do with a puzzle? You have to connect it. You have to interlock those pieces. You have to put it together. There's a picture at the end of it all. Well, let me back up. There's a picture even at the beginning, right? Because it's on the outside of the box. You know what you're going for, right? You have that picture, and you chose that particular puzzle because it drew your attention. You thought, man, that's pretty. I like that, right? I'd like to put that together. Now, I'm also the type of person that if I did put together a puzzle, it would be glassed and framed and hung for all to see, because I don't do many of them. And it's somebody else's masterpiece anyway, so it's better than what I could have drawn. But I know folks that will put together pieces of puzzles, thousands of pieces, 1,000 pieces of puzzle, 5,000, and then break it back down when they're all done. Put it back in the box. I don't understand that, okay? I struggle with that. My point is, a puzzle has a purpose. Those pieces are meant to be put together, to be fitted together, to connect all of the pieces. And so what we're talking about really is about connection this morning, about connection. And again, because our theme is He is the One in 2021, He's the One long after that and has been long before that, I know. But we want to be reminded to be the One. And in so doing, to bring one, to encourage one, to teach one. And the way to do that, the way to be the One to begin with, is by being connected with Christ. That's where it all begins. You see, that's where we find, even when the box is sitting there and we've set it out on the table, we have the box, we have the picture of what it's all supposed to look like. And don't we have that picture of what it's all supposed to look like? We have God's Word teaching us, reminding us, disciplining us along the way, chastening us along the way. Reminding us to how to be right with God, how to be connected with Christ. And there's a reason that we must connect with Christ. You know, the question was asked by the apostles. In fact, Peter asked the question, Lord, to whom shall we go? What was the conversation? Well, it was, you know, are you gonna go somewhere else? Are you going to leave me and follow after? It was a difficult saying. There was a difficult teaching that had been taught. Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of life. We connect with Christ through His Word. That's where it all begins. That's the connection. That's the picture that's been drawn for us by Christ and done so in His own blood. Matthew 26 and verse 28. We go to Christ and we connect with Him because He is our example. He's our example. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps, that we should follow Him. We go to Him and connect with Him through His Word. We follow Him as we follow His example. We go to Him because He's the great physician. We go to Him for healing, right? Luke 5 and verse 31, Jesus said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So those who are sick in this world, those who are battling illnesses that are not physical ones, spiritual ones. We're talking about things eternal. We connect with Christ. To whom shall we go then for teaching, for example, for healing? Christ. To whom shall we go for salvation? Jesus gave that commission to His apostles just before He ascended. And what did he say? He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned, lost in eternity. But he wanted that message to be far spread, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how to respond to it. That gospel message. To whom shall we go then? For salvation, we go to Christ. That's how we begin that connection. For the remission of sins, Acts 2:38 reminds us, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They that gladly received His word were baptized the same day that were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and those saved souls were added to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. For sanctification, to whom shall we go? The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning of verse 13, and he says, but we are bound to give thanks. I love this verse. He says, we're bound to give thanks. There's a necessity, he says. We're bound to do this. Because this is worthy of that. So we're bound to give thanks, he says, to God always for you. My brethren, who are beloved of the Lord. I love when you read Paul's writings and you see the connection that he has with those families, those congregations. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, he says, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the attaining of the glory of Jesus Christ. And then so he says after that, so stand fast, brethren. Stand fast. Hold those traditions. And not always traditions like we think about, you know, we traditionally do this and we do that. No, this was traditions that had been taught to them from Scripture. These were inspired traditions that he's talking about. He says, you stand fast, holding those things that have been taught to you, whether by word or by our letter. So think about how this all starts, how this connection begins. It begins with Christ, our submission to Him. To whom shall we go? We go to Christ. Why? Because He is the one that our Father in heaven sent to die for me and for you. So we go to Him. That idea of sanctification kind of leads us into our next thought here. Be the one. By being connected then with His church. We already talked about the church is that saved body of baptized believers, Acts 2 and verse 47. But again, even in the Lord's church, we got to find our place where we fit in. And what I love about Scripture is that the organization of the church is laid out in such a way so that it's not always just on us to find our place in the Lord's body. We have our responsibility in that, but so do our elders. And so does every member. And we'll see how all of this begins to tie together, thinking about the work of the church. We get connected then with His church. This whole idea of unity, this whole idea of working together and being together and the fellowship that we enjoy and such. We talk about the works of the church. And we lay those out kind of threefold, right? Edification, benevolence, and evangelism. And those, rightly so, we find them in Scripture. So let's notice some of these things together. This idea of edification literally means to build up. It's literally thinking about taking from the very bottom, that you have that level foundation. You have a chief cornerstone, that level foundation that's been laid, each block then being built on top of that building up. There's a picture of growing in that, but there's also a picture of being connected in that. Saw this quick video as I was going through on Facebook, and I get caught sometimes going down a rabbit hole of just watching some videos that are out there. This particular video was interesting because it was about heavy equipment and putting things together and all of that. And those, you know, it's the little boy that's still in me, even middle-aged, that still likes to look at tractors and big trucks and things like that. I don't know what it is, but it's in me. That's what I love. I love watching those things. But they were building tunnels. And they had already laid all those blocks to, you know, begin to lay those blocks up on the side. But then how are they going to put up the top? And they had this truck that was in it, and it had a kind of this curvature this on the top of it. And then you had a crane bringing in those blocks. And those blocks were built, though, with just like we're looking at these puzzle pieces, so that they could be connected in such a way. But they were curved. They were laid in there. And here was this truck who was sitting there kind of giving the support to begin with. But guess what? Eventually they pulled that truck out and they're all sitting there connected as strong, so much so that the crane drove over the top of it. That's what impressed me really the most, was how strong it was at the end of it. But that's the idea of being connected, so that that body is strong. It's built up. That's the word picture that we see in edification. And so let's notice some verses together. Let's just go to Ephesians 4 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 4. This chapter begins with this idea of oneness and unity. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, he says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness, with all meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he goes, there's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and in you all and through all. And every one of us, he says, is this grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And so he begins to then talk about how in the early church, they had those early gifts of the Spirit, those miraculous things, because they didn't have the written scriptures and they needed that to guide them. They were given those things, and that's what the next few verses will talk about. And so to some of those gifts were given to some apostles, to the apostles, to some prophets, some to the evangelists, some to pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And he's going to explain, much like 1 Corinthians 13 does, about how long those miraculous things were going to last, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? So that we're not tossed to and fro, he would talk about in the next verse. Speaking the truth in love, that may grow up in him in all things. And that idea of growing up and building up in Christ, which is the head. And there's that connection once again of the one body of Christ and Christ, who is the head of that body, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, reading from the King James, fitly joined together, compacted, he says, by that which every joint supplieth, or continues to supply, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You see, in this picture of unity that he's talking about, when all the pieces are together and they form those joints, because now they've been fitted perfectly together, they've found their place. And every joint supplies strength to hold the whole body together in a beautiful, beautiful picture that is drawn for us of the Lord's church and the work of the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. When we think about benevolence, James talked about benevolence in James 1 verse 27. He talked about it as pure religion and undefiled before God is this, to visit, to care for the fatherless and widows in their need, in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Benevolence. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially those who are of the household of faith, unto all men, he says. Galatians 6 and verse 10. the work of evangelism. We'll talk more in the last point about evangelism, but I want you to see the connection. Because even in this particular passage, when you look at it, you're thinking about the work of the church, and you think now about the workers of the church, each one, every piece in the body fitted together, making the body strong because they're growing together in that way. There is that connection with the Lord's church. And we see then, again in verse 16, that in the effectual working, the measure of every part makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. So before he's talked about how that unity looks in the work of the church, he talked about how unity came to be in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4, God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, he's quickened us. He's made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together, made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're his workmanship, he says, created in Christ Jesus for good works. There's the expectation that being in Christ, there's the expectation that we would be workers in Christ, that we're created unto those good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then he takes them down memory lane and he reminds them where they once were. Remember, he says, you in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. He says that at that time, you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, he says, okay, that's where you were. But it's not where you are now. See, regardless of our past, if we've been forgiven of those things, but now in Christ Jesus, those of you, he says, who were afar off, and there's reference obviously to the Gentiles, are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. He is our peace. He has made both Jew and Gentile one. He broke down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity contained, he says, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. So that is both all of the law of the Old Testament, including the Ten Commandments, by the way, for to make in himself, in him, in Christ, in his body, of two, one new man. So making peace, he says, that he might reconcile. Why is all of this possible? Why did God do this? Why did God send his son? That he might reconcile both Jews and Gentiles, he says, unto God in one body by the cross. Having slain, he says, the enmity thereby. He came to preach peace to you who were afar off, he says, and to those who were near. So again, a reference to the Gentiles and the Jews. Those who were near would be the Jews. Those who were far off, the Gentiles. Through him, he says, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, watch this. You're no more strangers and pilgrims. You're no more foreigners. You are fellow citizens. Fellow citizens. Directly related to that word is fellowship, right? The idea that we are fellows together. Fellowship. Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon, he says, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Watch verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together, having been fitted together, grows unto an holy temple in the Lord. What has he been building? When he built the church, when he established his kingdom, the church and the kingdom being one and the same, what is it that he was building? He was building a holy temple. Holy temple in the Lord. In whom, he says, You are built together for habitation, for a home, the habitation of God through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 gives us a picture about each one being different, having different works, in fact, even to the point of looking different. Aren't you glad we don't all look the same? We can tell who's who, right? Makes it easy for us that way. But you know, in the body, we're different. We have different works, different functions. Paul will talk about the eye and the ear and so forth. Think about the hand or the little toe. Yet they each have a function, right, in the body. So that we might work together to the glory of God. Be the one by being connected with His church. Be the one by being connected with the community. Be the one. And again, this gets back to being the one, connecting with Christ, connecting, finding our place in the body of Christ, the leaders helping us do just that, the body working together and growing up and being strong in that body. For what purpose? So that we walk out those doors, there's a whole community out there. There are souls out there who need the gospel. There are souls out there who are hurting. There are souls out there who are hurting just like you've hurt. Feeling the very same things that you are feeling. And you can show them compassion. And you can show them concern. And you can show them care. And you can show them the love of Christ that lives in you, so that they can know Christ and be connected with Him and with His body. You see, the idea of that connection. You know, we have opportunity everywhere we go. We may not always see it. I think that's the lessons in life, is trying to see in real time those opportunities when they're happening, right? So often it's the case that we see it after. Well, I should have done this, right? I should have said that. I let that one slip right by, right? I had an opportunity. Where do I go in the week? Work, school, ball field, Walmart, Target, mall, whatever it is. Wherever I go, I have to look for those opportunities. I need to be actively seeking those opportunities. And if I'm honing in my skills by being fitted together in the body of Christ, by being strengthened in the body of Christ, being edified myself in the body of Christ, and edifying my brother and sister in Christ, then guess what? When we go out there, we're better prepared to not just look for those opportunities, but to make opportunities. To make opportunities. And so wherever I go, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. I'm going to live like it. I'm going to act like it. I'm going to speak like it. I'm going to look like it. But I'm certainly going to love like it. And I'm going to use those opportunities that are given to me by God. We pray for them often. Give us opportunity to be able to teach. Give us opportunities to be able to encourage someone. And then if I've missed those opportunities, see, that's on me. Because God has granted the opportunity. He's answered my prayers. The opportunities abound. You see, this is the practical part of it all. This is the application. This is where we bring it all together. This is where we see why it's all connected and that I need to be a part of the body of Christ. You know, things I mentioned earlier for 2020 got set aside and sometimes left to the side. We don't know what 2021 might bring us. But if it's better or worse, it doesn't matter than 2020. We will have opportunities to be children of God before others. We prepare ourselves. You know, last year we finished up the Fishers of Men class just in time before we had to stop meeting. We didn't even get to have the graduation, right? Those who were in the class. Bible studies were conducted. The gospel was taught. There were those who obeyed the gospel. There were those who renewed their faith in Christ. Were strengthened. Were edified. Were built up. Lord willing, we'll have another class. And I hope you'll look forward to that opportunity with me as well. But all of those works in which Eastside especially is involved. Find your place. Find a work that you can do. Leaders, find work for the members. Because that's how they connect. That's how they begin to work together. We take those first steps, obeying the gospel. But you know, then we've got to live the gospel, right? Which is what Philippians 2:12 is about. Working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's about living the gospel life. That's what that verse is about. That's not trying to figure out a way of salvation. No, that's living. That's living day to day as a child of God. That's what that verse is about. And the Bible is full of those verses that remind us about we're not just thinking about ourselves here. I'm thinking about those that are next to me. And even those that are coming up behind me. And even those who are walking before me. I'll be thinking about others. And therefore, I want to be the one by being connected with my community. To bring one. To encourage one, to teach one about Jesus Christ. What if it's just one? What if it's just one? What if it's just one that we're able to reach with the gospel? What if it's just one that I'm able to bring? And maybe they come for one service. Seeds planted, we've done our part. Maybe now there'll be opportunity to water. The Lord will do His part. The Lord will give the increase. That's His work. But we have to do ours as well. The power of one is ever multiplied by the one above. He is the one. And so whatever we might do, my prayer is that He may multiply it according to His will. Would you bow with me in prayer? Our God and our Father in heaven, we are grateful unto Thee for loving us, for showing us that love through Your only begotten Son, who came to this world to give His life as a sacrifice, as a ransom, to shed His blood for our sins. But also to live His life as the perfect example before us, so that we know how to walk in this world with all of its difficulties, with all of its trials, knowing that He too was tempted as we are, helps us greatly to know that You care and that He cares and that He ever walks with us. May our connection with Him and with the body and with our community be greater, be stronger, Help us with our fears. Help us to overcome those things that cause us to be distracted from focusing on you, focusing on heaven, the prize, the goal, to ever be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have a new year before us. Let us continue to work with the blessings that we've been blessed with in this life, with the blessings that we've been blessed with in this family here at Eastside. We love you. We care about you. We want you to be connected. Those who are at home, not able to be with us, we miss you. We love you. You're a part of this family. And not at all forgotten. This morning we have opportunity. If we've thought about what Christ has done for us, shedding His blood, how do we respond to that? To whom shall we go? To Jesus for salvation. For He is the one who shed His blood. And He is the one who... excuse me. He is the one who shed His blood that we might have the forgiveness of sins. Made it all the way through a sermon to the very end. When you think about what He's done for us, how can we not respond to that? But you know, He didn't just leave us flailing about trying to figure out how to respond. He told us exactly what to do. To believe Him. To believe His Word. Jake read from John 6 earlier. The idea was to take all of Christ, to take Him at His Word, and to take all of that in. He is the very Son of God. We're to confess that faith before men. Repent of sin. Be baptized to wash away our sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22. In verse 16. And maybe you've taken those steps. Are you the missing piece? Are you the piece that needs to be perfectly fitted in? Can we help? Can we encourage you in some way this morning? If so, come to the front, let us know how, while we stand, while we sing.